Meredith Johnson's performance was flawless, the images blending and flowing across the screen, her voice confident, no hesitation, no pauses. As she continued, the room became quiet, the atmosphere distinctly respectful. When her speech ended, there was applause. The meeting broke up, and people headed back to work. Kaplan moved discreetly away as Meredith came up to Sanders. "Listen," Meredith said, "I've been asking all the heads to meet with me today, if they can. I wonder if you're free to come up to my office at the end of the day for a drink. We can go over things and maybe catch up on old times, too." "Sure," he said. 6 o'clock work for you?" "Fine," he said. She smiled. "You still partial to dry Chardonnay?" Despite himself, he was flattered that she remembered. He smiled. "Yes." "See you then, Tom."
"See you then."
Sanders was back in his office by 2:15. He called his wife to tell her he would be home late, that he had a meeting at 6.
"Well, what's happening over there?" Susan said. "I got a call from Mark Lewin's wife. She says Garvin's screwing everybody and they're changing the organization around. Are you still getting a promotion?"
"Basically," he said, "the answer is no."
"Oh, Tom, I'm sorry. Are you okay?"
"Yeah."
"Okay, I'll see you when you get here."
Cindy entered as Sanders hung up. "Mark Lewin's office just called. The Twinkle Drives have arrived from Malaysia. Do you want to see them?" "I'm on my way." The design group occupied the entire second floor. Sanders found Mark Lewin and his team of designers bent over 3 CD-ROM players from Malaysia. "What have you found?" Sanders said.
"Ah, hell," Lewin said. "Not good, Tom, not good. There's a metal rod inside the hinge. These clips maintain contact with the rod as the case is open. That's how you maintain power to the screen. But it looks like the rods are too small. And the clips are too stiff. They don't spring back. They're heat pressed into the casings."
"You're telling me we have to build new casings just because we have bad clips?" Sanders asked.
"Exactly."
Sanders shook his head. "We've run off thousands so far, something like 4,000.
"Well, we've got to do them again."
"And what about the drive itself?" Sanders asked.
"It's slow, but I'm not sure why. Whatever it is, we're in deep shit," Lewin concluded. "It could be months."
"Well, when will we know?" Sanders asked. "I should get a report by 5, Lewin replied. "Does Meredith know about this yet?"
"I'm briefing her at 6.
"Okay. In a way, this is good. We'll see how she handles this problem." Sanders shrugged. Lewin pressed him.
"You think she got this job because she's a woman?"
"Well, who knows?
Pale males eat it again, I tell you. Sometimes I get so sick of the constant pressure to appoint women," Lewin said.
"When I started in at Digicom, there was only one question. Are you good? Not anymore. There's also the question of whether you're the right sex and skin color. And if you turn out to be incompetent, we can't fire you. Pretty soon we start to get junk like this Twinkle Drive because no one's accountable anymore."
Coming back upstairs, Sanders used his electronic pass card to open the door to the 4th floor. He slipped it into his pocket, then headed down the hallway to his office.
"Tom, you dropped your card." He looked up. An assistant was pointing back down the hall.
"Oh, okay," he said, seeing the pass card on the floor.
"Thanks." He retrieved it, then slipped it into his pocket. Then he felt the second card already there. He frowned. It was someone else's. He'd have to find out whose and return it.
"So," said a familiar voice, "you don't say hello to your old friends anymore?"
Sanders looked up. Outside the glass-walled conference room sat Max Dorfman.
"Hello, Max," Sanders said.
"You walk around with your head down like a defeated putz,"
Dorfman snorted. "This hasn't been one of my better days, Max."
"And you want sympathy?"
"No, Max, I was thinking."
"Ah, thinking. And what were you thinking about, Thomas? Meredith Johnson?"
Sanders was startled. "How did you know that?"
"Magic," Dorfman said with a rasping laugh. "Your face, Thomas. That's how I knew what you were thinking.